Welcome. You're listening to The Weather Lounge, a podcast by WeatherWorks. Get ready to explore the world of weather and connect with engaging guests, bringing you fun and thought-provoking stories of just how weather shapes our lives, sometimes in ways you've never imagined. So join us as we unravel the mysteries of the atmosphere. Today's episode starts right now.
And thanks for joining us in the Weather Lounge. I'm your host, meteorologist Brad Miller, and joining me for today's podcast in for meteorologist Mike Mahalik is another friendly face here at WeatherWorks, and I think you've heard before, is our meteorologist, Jen DiOrio. Welcome, Jen.
Hi, Brad. How are you?
I'm doing okay. You know, it's nice to have you back on the podcast, and I think you're going to be on quite a bit this upcoming summer. You know, we're going to have a good time here, and it's nice to be out of the grips of winter, though, that's for sure.
Definitely. I am not as much of a winter fan as much as I am a summer fan and all things weather that comes along with the summer season. So I am very much looking forward to it and looking forward to being on the podcast more this summer as well.
Yeah. We got a lot of great stuff coming in as we do shift the seasons here. You know, we had that kind of spring tease back in, I think it was like late February, early March, and a lot of folks were, hey, is winter over? But then the old negative NAO showed up, which was supposed to be around for a good portion of the winter, but decided to show up in March and early April, and that kind of put a damper on our early spring.
Definitely did. I'm very excited that it is 70 degrees here today.
Yeah, it is nice. And, you know, we've got the Masters coming up. That's always a sign of spring if you're a golf fan. And, you know, it's always good to have a little Jenny D in your life on the
well,
podcast.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? Because, Jen, when you first came to WeatherWorks, and I don't know, maybe I was the only one, but I always thought your name was Jen DiOrio. And I never realized till like a couple of weeks later that it's an I there. It's a D apostrophe for all of our listeners. I-O-R-I-O. And I always thought that was an L. So I always was like, Jen DiOrio. And
that is common because it's a capital I. So depending on what font you use, that could look like a lowercase L. So I get DiOrio quite frequently. But
so me being the jerk that I am, just calling her Jenny DiOrio just to, you know.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's great to have you on the podcast, Jen. And yeah, we're looking forward to a good summer here. And we've got a lot of topics to explore here. A lot of on the current agenda, what's been going on. We'll talk about the solar eclipse. We'll talk about this past nor'easter and, you know, what may be in store here as we head on through the rest of the month of April and especially into May. So we'll cover all that in just a few minutes. We're going to take a break and be right back.
Have you ever been dehydrated? I certainly have, and it's not fun. Headaches, muscle spasms, cramps, confusion, and disorientation are just some of the things you experience with a lack of water. So proper, functional hydration is essential for everyone's daily lives. But sometimes water just doesn't cut it. And that's where Liquid IV comes in. They're the number one powdered hydration brand in America, and their hydration multiplier is something you're most likely missing in your daily routine. With just one stick, you can hydrate twice as fast than using water alone. It has three times the amount of electrolytes than leading sports drinks, made from non-GMO ingredients, and it's chock full of essential vitamins. I personally enjoy the passion fruit flavor myself, but there's other great flavors you can choose from. So whether you're out landscaping, plowing a parking lot in a snowstorm, heading out for that afternoon jog, or even just feeling run down, Liquid IV is your go-to source for hydration and wellness. Get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code WEATHERLOUNGE at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WEATHERLOUNGE at liquidiv.com.
And welcome back to the Weather Lounge. And again, meteorologist Brad Miller here. And of course, we've got our own WeatherWorks meteorologist, Jen DiOrio, joining us here for our first, I guess, spring topic, Jen. And like we talked about, we're happy to be now past the throes of winter for the most part. And, you know, Jen, just a couple of days ago, the big story and probably the biggest story, you know, we'll have for a while with any kind of solar activity was the big solar eclipse.
Yes, for sure. Everyone was talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, it was all over social media, of course. A lot of our folks and meteorologists here at WeatherWorks were able to partake in a lot of different parts of the country. You know, our own Frank Lombardo, our CEO, he was down in Texas. We had a couple of folks, Rob Reel and Chelsea down there, and Katie at Nashville for the Connects event down there in Nashville. So again, you know, and we had a few of our other folks, Simon, he was up in New Hampshire, and we had a few other folks out in upstate New York, including Sean and Eric, you know, just so again, a lot of our staff was enjoying the solar eclipse live.
Definitely. Yeah, it was really cool sight to see. I mean, I would have loved to see it in totality, but I am on Long Island, so only saw a partial, but it was still very cool to see. Went to the beach and kind of watched it there. And it looked like it was almost kind of like a cloudy day with the sun starting to go down when it was in its maximum kind of peak. But yeah, I definitely would love to see a total one at some point in my life, because just the scenes of, you know, what our coworker showed Brad of, like, how it really looked like the sun had just gone down, is crazy and really cool to see.
Yeah, I mean, you can check out, you know, some of our the photos and videos from a lot of our staff. You can just go to our Twitter page and also on Facebook. So there was some good stuff out there. And like you said, if you were in New Jersey, or, you know, there were a lot of clouds around, you know, Pennsylvania, even good parts of New York that were supposed to have good viewing ended up not so good at the end of it. Our own Sean Rowland, he was up in Rochester. And unfortunately, the clouds came in a little bit thicker and faster than he expected, and didn't get to see a good amount of the eclipse. As I was talking to him earlier this morning. But again, you know, it just depended upon where you were. And for those folks that did see the whole thing, and from what I read, you know, I wasn't watching a time lapse. It said in the Twitter feed, this is not a time lapse. And I guess apparently it goes from basically light to dark within like a minute or two as the sun gets right in front of the moon gets right in front of the sun.
Wow.
It's just amazing how fast, you know, it occurs. And also, I guess if you're not in that path of totality, or like 99.99 to 100%, you still don't get that shadow, and you still stay pretty light because the sun is just so bright anyway.
Yeah. I honestly thought it was going to get a little bit darker than it did, because, you know, 89%.
Yeah, we were still 80-90% for most of the Northeast.
Right. So, and I didn't have, you know, thankfully I didn't have the cloud cover on Long Island. I just had some high cloud, so it really didn't obscure it at all. So I thought it was going to get darker than it did, to be completely honest. But yeah, and then when I saw some of the pictures of what it looks like with the totality, I was like, wow, that's like that 10%. 11% is a significant difference.
Big difference.
Same
across most of Pennsylvania, New Jersey. It just looked like an overcast day, and it was like at dusk, and then, you know.
Yep, exactly.
And then of course the clouds broke, you know, an hour later, and it looked nice during the evening, but yeah, you know, too late. It was over. And I think, speaking of your next one, I think there's one in 2044, but it's out in Montana. But the big one, I guess, is the year later, 2045. And that's the one that cuts through the entire country, I think, that goes from west to east, but down into the southeastern U.S. So I think if you want to go see your next one, Jen, you have to go down to, like, Florida.
Yeah, and then the one after that is, I did a little bit more research, is 2079. And that literally goes right over my house on Long Island. So I'll have to look for, I guess it's one thing that I'll look forward to being 80 years old is you know, if I'm still on Long Island, a total eclipse.
That one I did look at too. Yeah, it goes up right up I-95, but I think it like starts in the mid Atlantic. It like south of there is no eclipse. It just kind of picks up right there, and then goes northeast into eastern Canada. But yeah, I doubt I'll be around, unfortunately. So. Anyway, yeah, so that was a great thing to watch, and you know, the expectations were just you know, phenomenal all across. I mean, just some of the videos that came through social media everywhere from Texas, even in like Mexico, there were some great videos coming from down there where they had totality, and you know, folks just cheering it on, and pretty cool.
Yep, very cool.
And unfortunately, the traffic, though, some of the bad parts, I guess, of the eclipse is a lot of folks were like traveling back from New Hampshire, Vermont, and upstate New York. It was taking them like 5-7 hours.
Oh, wow.
The roads were just so clogged up and just trying to get back. But I guess they all said it was worth it anyway. So,
yeah, I can imagine the traffic that around those areas that were in the total path. I can imagine how clogged up it got. That wasn't too bad around here. You know, a little bit of traffic kind of.
Well, there's always traveling on Long Island. I don't care if there's an eclipse or not.
Exactly. I know. That's literally what I said to my family yesterday, is that like we had more traffic. There's more traffic leaving the beach over the summer, yeah, like on a normal beach day, than there was yesterday. So wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah, I've been out that way. But yeah, and I think I thought I read somewhere they put signs like even on like the LIE for like people, do not stop your car.
Oh, yeah. There were signs everywhere. Do not stop your car. Use mass transit. They were
to watch the eclipse.
Like apocalyptic. Yep.
Yeah.
Don't stare. Yeah. Don't stare at the sun while you were, you know, driving.
Yeah. The glasses.
And yeah. It was, we were all like, okay, but you know, not in the path of totality here. So it was a little bit, I would say a little hyped up than, it more than it needed to be on Long Island, but.
You know, we're going to talk about the nor'easter here in a minute too, but one thing I do want to just bring up here for a second here is how about that earthquake last week?
That was crazy.
I mean, we're all working and, you know, we all are doing our thing. And I remember just on the GroupMe chat that we have WeatherWorks, just when we talk about different observations, and it just blew up like when everyone felt it. Everyone that lives in the Northeast felt it, obviously, some more so than others based on where you know, how close you were to the epicenter. But it was everyone was like, earthquake. Was that an earthquake? I mean, just like crazy.
That was crazy. We'll see if that ever happens again. But that was like a pretty unique experience that is not common for sure. I mean, it was the biggest earthquake in New Jersey since the 1700s. So, you know, to kind of experience and feel something like that was just crazy. And it was kind of ironic because at the time that the earthquake happened, I was on the phone with our CEO, Frank. And he was like, you know, I think we're having an earthquake. And I'm thinking in my head, like, okay, like an earthquake that of that magnitude, you know, whatever. And I had about a 20-second lead time. And then, you know, while we're on the phone, 20 seconds later, I start feeling it here. And I was like, wow, okay, definitely is an earthquake. So I had a little bit of forewarning than most others did.
Oh, by the way, the earthquake's coming. What?
Yeah. So
yeah, that was crazy. And you know, the epicenter actually was, what, maybe 10, 15 miles by the way crow flies to our office, our home office in Hackettstown.
Yep, not far at all.
It was right off 78 there. That was crazy. And
I think that the thing that spooked, I was, you know, saw some videos and whatnot on Twitter. And I think the biggest thing that spooked me is that the noise that the earth made from the earthquake, it wasn't even like the noise of a building shaking or things falling down. It was like the actual noise of the earth moving was frightening. And, you know, I know a lot of people that we work with said that was probably the thing that was of most concern. And yeah, I would agree. If I had heard that noise, I would have been definitely scared. We didn't have any noise here. It was kind of more just like swaying and a little bit of shaking as if you were like on a boat. And you know, a couple of things moving around on like top shelves and whatnot. But yeah, the noise was incredible.
You know, I kind of thought about it. I was like, what does this feel like? It almost felt like, did you ever get a cavity filled and they got to drill it out? And it's like that deep. It's like that. I mean, you have Novocaine usually, but it's you just feel that like that deep drilling feeling, and that's kind of what it felt like. I mean, just a low rumble and just, I was like, oh my god.
Yeah. No, it was and the aftershock that happened.
Yeah.
What, 10 hours later?
Not a bunch of them. Yeah. Like
that. I mean, that was very strong too. I barely felt that one over here, but
I felt the one of them at like 6 p.m. right before we got done.
That was the one. I think that was like a 3-8 or something. Yeah. But yeah, the fact that the aftershock was as strong as it was too was, I mean, it's crazy. Like, this is New Jersey. This isn't California.
Yeah, well, then they had the big one back in, was it Taiwan just a couple of weeks ago earlier? Yeah. And that was a big boy, but yeah, that's something you don't want around here, that's for sure. But yeah, it was definitely the exciting week, I guess. Of course, then you had the nor'easter.
Yes.
And that was another one that, you know, we had a storm that, you know, we saw it coming almost like a week ago. I mean, as meteorologists, you're like, the setup is there, you know, and we're always waiting for something. All right, what's going to change on this? You know, it's a week out. You know, this whole winter's kind of been like that, where, all right, there's something that's pretty, you know, it looks like it's going to happen, where we're going to have a good coastal setup, a good nor'easter setup, but then something goes wrong. You know, the trough develops too early, or you know, something comes out of there too late. But you know, this one was on the models for a good, you know, 7-8 days before it even, you know, occurred.
Yeah, it was a pretty robust signal, that's for sure. And I think if it had happened in like the middle, you know, early to mid February, it could have been a pretty blockbuster storm for most of, you know, the northeastern seaboard.
Yeah, it was you know, the blocking was there. I mean, everything that we wanted, you know, for a lot of the storms earlier in the winter, which I think we got like one or two that actually panned out, but that one would have been a 2 or 3 day crusher in the middle of the winter for sure. I mean, everybody would have gotten, you know, a good amount of snow, even right up to the coast, just based on that track. A little bit inland on some spots. I mean, maybe the immediate coastal areas might have gone the rain, but it would have been powerful enough to where it allowed, you know, folks got 1 to 2 feet of snow widespread across the Northeast.
Definitely.
But, and it did happen in, you know, across parts of the elevations. I mean, there were some ski areas. I mean, I do the, you know, the certified snowfall totals up there for Vermont, New Hampshire. And now I had several locations getting 20 to 30 inches. I mean, it was just a long drawn out storm. It basically started like Wednesday afternoon up there and didn't stop until, you know, almost Saturday morning.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, combine the other, you know, weather kind of hazards. And
yeah, you probably had wind issues on Long Island.
We definitely, yeah, we had coastal flooding and wind was our big thing. I live more inland, so we never have a coastal flooding concern here, thankfully. But yeah, the wind was incredibly strong. And the next morning when, I mean, thankfully we didn't lose any, you know, big trees and our power lines are underground, so nothing like that. But, you know, the next morning there was a little bit of a carnage in my backyard. It was just like branches all over the place. Yeah, it was pretty intense. And it was like from that, like 9 o'clock to like midnight-ish hour was, you know, a couple hours was pretty intense wind. So yeah, if we had had that with snow, I could have seen some, you know, potentially some blizzard conditions happening.
Yeah, I mean, that setup was there. I mean, it's just was something that we were hoping to get a few other times in the winter. But like I said, it seems like always something went wrong where the you know, the northern jet wouldn't cooperate with the southern jet, or vice versa. They get that big phasing storm. It just seemed like all the storms were just off a little bit, where we would get one branch versus the other, and then the other one would come through. And
there was always one puzzle piece that didn't just exactly fit.
But, you know, that's wintertime in the Northeast. I mean,
and that's Mother Nature.
And the amazing thing is when you get that kind of phasing is that, you know, it doesn't matter how warm it was before the storm or how warm it can be after a storm. If it can phase like that, even if it's early April, I mean, you'll get a big system just like, you know, parts of New England saw. But, you know, and even like, you know, our forecast areas, you know, there was a lot of sleet involved, even from like southern New Hampshire all the way down through, you know, a lot of Connecticut, even upstate New York. And sleet doesn't care. It falls, and whether it's April or October, it's going to sit there and it's going to prime the pavement. So anyone that says, oh, it's too warm to stick on pavement, you put a little sleet in there, it'll happen.
Sleet takes no directions and just kind of does what it wants. And yeah, it's so much harder for our clients to remove as well, just because of that density. And especially I felt like with this system too, you know, kind of hearing a lot about how, you know, rain with the sleet, it was just, everything was very kind of like heavy and wet. And you know, that I can imagine was,
yeah, and sleet will accumulate at 34, 35 degrees. It doesn't matter. It'll just, like you said, it'll prime that pavement or surfaces. And then if you get some snow on top of that, you know, you're off to the races. It's funny, cause Ken Elliott, one of our senior meteorologists at WeatherWorks, when I first started, we were just talking about sleet and stuff, and he's like, yeah, you know what? Sleet and salt, they'll just kind of lay there in the sleet molecule look over at the salt and say, what are you doing here? You can't do anything to me. Cause it just sits there and it just, you know,
it's not going to do a whole lot. That's for sure.
Yeah. Salt to salt to melty ice and snow away. But yeah, you got some sleet there. It takes a while, and it's just going to lay there and laugh at the salt. Yeah, so kind of glad the nor'easter. I mean, it took forever too. I mean, that thing finally got out of here it took until Sunday, really.
I'm not gonna lie, last week was a pretty gloomy, doom and gloom week. You know, I mean, that was two straight days. I think it was Tuesday, Wednesday, or Wednesday, Thursday. I can't remember now, but two straight days of rain, and then just continual, mostly cloudy skies. Snow or rain showers, depending on when you were. It really,
temperatures didn't get out of the 40s and stuff.
Yeah, really took a while. And yeah, that was the other thing too, with that steady rain, you know, nothing like a steady rain at 38, 39, 40 degrees with thunder. It was like, what's going on? But yeah, that was rough. So I'm a person that I like rain every once in a while, but I don't know about you, Brad, but I just feel like the last couple of months, it's just been so much like rain and wet weather and cloudiness. And, you know, we need some sun. We need some sunshine.
I mean, the El Nino panned out this year. It's just that some of the phasing, like we talked about, didn't always pan. I mean, the moisture was there. The southern jet was active, especially for the second half of the winter. And like you said, it was just a lot of moisture. And it just wasn't coupling up with the cold air at the right time. But, I mean, look at how much rain some areas got since, February. I mean, some areas are like
– in December, too, even going back into December.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, and it seems like every event, 1 to 2 inches, another 2 inches of rain. You know, then we had flooding issues over the winter. It just was just a lot of rain. You know, just, and in the wintertime, it just doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't evaporate as well as it would in the summer, obviously.
No. Yep.
Moving on from the nor'easter, moving on from the solar eclipse and the earthquake, we're finally looking ahead to some decent weather. Granted, we still have some cool days in April and, you know, the occasional, dare I say, snow shower in some, you know, climatological spots. But, you know, basically we've turned the corner now. You know, planting season starts coming up. You know, there's still frost, though, possibilities, you know, inland. You know, it goes all the way until late April. I know, you know, I live up towards the Poconos, and, you know, you can't plant safely here until, you know, at least the first week of May, because you still get some frost.
Right.
Even Long Island. And there's some spots on Long Island that get cold and isolated spots. I know that.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I think the farther east you go, the more isolated kind of coldness you can get. I live more, you know, kind of, yeah, I'm not in Nassau County, I'm in Suffolk County, but a little bit farther east in Suffolk, not, you know, as far as like out towards the Twin Forks, but, you know, I'll definitely get colder than, you know, places out in Nassau, you know, where it's more urbanized and more population, et cetera. So, yeah, we can, I mean, not last night, but the couple nights before, you know, still having some chilly nights.
Well, it's that sandy soil, especially like you said, on the eastern side of Long Island, where, you know, if you do have calm nights, I mean, that temperature can still drop pretty fast.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
But, yeah, so, I mean, again, looking ahead to the nice spring weather as we start to see the flowers blooming and everything. And one thing I've noticed in the last couple of days was the activity of like the bees and stuff. They're getting their pollen now finally, and they're visiting trees, and just everything's kind of awakening. You know, the birds are out earlier. You can hear them chirping. I mean, even when it was crappy last week, you know, during the nor'easter, it was still kind of, the birds were up early, even though the high was only going to be like 42 degrees and rain, but they know what's coming.
They know what's coming. Yeah. I like hearing the birds in the morning, and I've been hearing them a little bit more lately. And yeah, not excited about the bees. I'm not a fan, but yeah, no, definitely everything's, I mean, I went on a walk, 2 days ago, and I got hit right in the face with a bug, and I was like, that's how you know it's, we're getting into spring. They're all coming out.
Yeah, I mean, I play a lot of golf when we get into spring and summer, especially. The one thing I am always afraid of are ticks, and they've been they've been horrible lately.
They have been. Yeah, Long Island is the worst with ticks. Like, there are so many ticks, it's ridiculous. And 99% of our ticks have Lyme disease, so you have to be really, really careful. So,
yeah, you got to.
I actually made somewhat of a joke the other day when I was out for a walk, because I had my dog with me, and I was, you know, I do all her, you know, normal flea and tick prevention and whatnot, and I said, you know, a little bit of a joke to her, because I talk to her, she's my child, so I was like, you have flea and tick protection, I do not, so please let's not bring any of this you know, back into the house as you're, you know, walking through all the shrubbery and leaves and grass and all this. She just loves to get all in there. But
well, that's our WeatherWorks mascot.
I know, Coconut, the WeatherWorks.
Good old Coconut.
Yeah.
Coconut's a good dog. Yeah.
Yeah, she's a good girl.
Definitely a part of WeatherWorks.
Check her out on the Instagram. Scroll back a little bit. She'll be there.
Oh, yeah. No, Coconut's a good dog. I like seeing Coconut. But, yeah, so allergies, of course, you know, that becomes an issue as we get deeper into spring. And you were actually on with us a couple of, I guess it was a year or two ago. We were talking about allergies and, you know, weather and your health. And, you know, it was a previous podcast episode. But, you know, let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, a lot of folks suffer from allergies every year. And it's just a sneezing fit, or whether you get just, you know, run down. It affects everybody differently.
It really does. I mean, allergy symptoms vary so dramatically across the board. I don't know. I feel like the last couple of years, my allergies are just like more active, or I don't really know if there's any rhyme or reason to that. You know, I did do a little bit of like research, and, you know, we did have some trees start to leaf a bit earlier, kind of in the Mid-Atlantic and the Northeast this year. Was it like as early as, you know, like ever recorded? No, I mean, it was definitely an earlier start to spring, but it was an earlier start that, according to the source that I looked at, which I believe was the NPN, that it's one, it's kind of like every 1 to 4 years we get a spring this early. So nothing crazy, but yeah. And I mean, I don't even have any blooming yet on my trees here. It's just they're starting to leaf, and my allergies are already pretty bad. So I'm kind of not looking forward to the next couple of weeks in that sense. But you know, it's also once they start to bloom, then it kind of, I think, gets a little bit, you kind of got to get a little bit worse before you get better. So
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you, when I live down south, I mean, everyone on the podcast probably knows this. I mean, I lived in Charleston for good 15 plus years. And I'll tell you, the biggest problem down there is pollen. And it starts in like February, and it peaks like around early March, mid March. And it's not just like a little bit either. I mean, it cakes up on your car. Do you ever get like a snow shower at night and like, you know, coats everything up, you get like a coating or like a couple of tents. That's what happens down there with like, when you get your first like warm, really, I guess, extended warm up, and you know, you hit 80 degrees and everything, all the pollen just starts popping up, and you can see it in the air. You can see it's on your car. It gets inside your house.
Yeah.
It's not annoying.
I went to a family member's wedding in Austin, Texas on February 14th. And I literally walked out of the airport and my eyes started to itch. And I was like, oh gosh, like, what is the allergy situation? and then every one of my family members was like, oh, like, it's definitely, and you know, all the trees are bloomed, and yeah, I had to start popping the allergy medicine even then.
Yeah. And then the thing is when you finally get a good rainstorm, you know, it kind of washes everything out, but there's like the puddles are just, it's almost like somebody took flour and threw it on top of a puddle, but it's just pollen, just yellow puddles everywhere. It's crazy.
Yeah. And then you start having the mold issue after that. So it's like, you can't win.
Well, you did an internship, didn't you, at Weather Service in Charleston?
I was in Columbia.
Columbia, that's right. Yeah. Columbia, yeah.
Yeah. And I was there mostly in the summer, though. So I didn't see as much of that pollen, and I don't have a grass.
Yeah, no, the pollen's gone then, but.
Yeah, so, but.
Summertime in Colombia is brutal.
It was hot. Yeah, it took me a couple of days to, probably like, I would say 2 weeks to really get used to it without being like, wow, like my water intake needs to go up significantly. I need to not, you know, be in the sun this often or I'm going to faint. It was hot. I was there.
And along those lines, I mean, you know, well, I was more on the coastal side down by Charleston and yeah, of course it gets hot and humid down there, but we at least usually get a sea breeze by the afternoon. It would push in, but the sea breeze would only make it as far as maybe like I-95. So Columbia used to just sit there and bake at like 101 with a dew point of like 75 all day.
Yeah, it was, and urbanized too now too. So
yeah, Gamecocks are there, South Carolina, University of South Carolina. I mean, it's just, it is a very, it's built up pretty quick, right in that area. It's just,
I loved it, but it was hot.
Yeah, no, it's just that whole area from like, you know, Atlanta goes right on through Central South Carolina. It just bakes in the summertime. I don't know how anyone can just stay there all day like that. It's just, ugh. You know, it's April and, you know, we start looking ahead to, you know, other things now with weather. We turned the corner with our summer forecast here at WeatherWorks. We switched to summer clients. And then, of course, our main focus turns to severe weather and flooding issues, you know, on top of, you know, our normal everyday forecasts. A lot of folks are, you know, doing outdoor projects now, whether it's roofing, you know, DPWs are doing a lot of work with the roads and filling potholes. So, you know, they need dry time as well. So, you know, that's where our forecasts really start to focus going forward away from the, you know, the winter aspects of, you know, snow removal and things like that.
Exactly. Yeah. And I didn't realize, you know, how valuable our forecasts really are until, you know, I'm going to be, which is crazy that my 4-year anniversary is coming up.
Wow. Time flies.
Time flies when you're having fun. That, you know, that's, I mean, I cannot believe that 2020 during all this COVID craziness and when I graduated, you know, couch graduation, as we were calling it. And now we're 4 years out from that, but yeah, I didn't realize, you know, how much forecast that WeatherWorks, you know, produces that gives so much decision support and so much clarity into, you know, workability in regards to, you know, rainfall timing amounts. I mean, how useful it is to so much clientele across the both, you know, the public and the private sectors and how they really use it and our consultation, the fact that you can pick up a phone and call us at any time and, you know, ask for updates or how long is this downpour going to last, et cetera. You know, it's really, really, really helpful. And I don't know if you're like this, Brad, but anytime I like pass a landscaping truck or some people working outside in adverse weather conditions, I just think to myself, man, they need WeatherWorks. Like they should have known that this is coming.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's, you know, it's, like you said, it's very important. You know, you tear a roof off a house and you got to put a new one on and like, you don't do that overnight. So, exactly. You know, they rely on, you know, a 2 to 3 day dry time because, you know, you take that roof off and, you know, it rains that homeowner is not going to be too happy that their insides of their attic or whatever is going to get wet.
Yeah. And then we're back to allergies with the mold. So,
yeah, that's true. You know, and then of course we have lightning clients too. I mean, folks rely on us for lightning detection and, you know, a lot of sporting events, and a lot, just so many outdoor activities this time of the year and concerts. So, you know, moving along here, I guess the last topic we can talk about is, the upcoming summer season. You know, what can we expect? And, you know, the hot topic, Jen, that I've been reading about also a lot on social media is already the hurricane season.
Yep. I've been seeing the same.
I mean, you know, some of the expert, you know, outside of us, of course, that predict the hurricane season activity, you know, Colorado State's another big one out there. But, you know, they're all predicting above normal season with, you know, so like, only because the Atlantic Ocean is so above normal already temperature wise, and that's really the driving force, you know, as we go into the upcoming summer.
Yeah, that warm ocean water. I mean, it's just, yeah, I think that's going to be a problem. So, you know, that's such a driving factor of storms in the U.S. And, you know, how warm can we get the Atlantic? How warm can the Gulf get? And yeah, I mean, what, last year weren't portions of the Gulf up to like 100 degrees or something?
Yeah, down there around the Keys or something, there were some really, but that water just sits there and it doesn't really move too much. But yeah, I remember seeing some. I remember, you know, they were doing some reports on that down there. But yeah, that's just such fuel for these storms, and especially if you don't have any shear going on, and which is, you know, basically the change in direction and speed of the wind as you go up. So the less shear you have, the better chance you have of, you know, a tropical system spinning into a hurricane, even a major hurricane. So in the next couple of weeks, we'll have our long range team on here on the podcast, and we'll definitely talk about, you know, what to expect this upcoming summer. Again, not only here in the Northeast, but, you know, across the entire U.S., including the Midwest, which, you know, we do forecast for here at WeatherWorks. And again, we'll talk about the hurricane season and, you know, how active that's going to be. And, you know, and again, you know, the hurricane season, it all comes down to, yeah, there's a storm out there, but then it comes down to, you know, what's the trough and ridge pattern look like across the United States, you know. You know, where's it going? Do you have a high pressure area in the Northeast that'll shove the storm into the Gulf? Or, you know, do you get that trough in Midwest and the Ohio Valley where it can pull a storm right up, you know, the Atlantic, you know, the East Coast there and you know, bring us a hurricane even here. So, and we've had a couple last couple of years. I mean, it's been pretty active, not direct hits, but more, you know, we had Irene and we had what was that one with all the tornadoes? I can't remember now.
Oh, Ida.
Ida, yeah. Yeah, oof.
Yeah, that was
a bad one.
That was a bad one.
And that was one of those systems that, you know, just kind of clipped the area, but there was so much moisture ahead of it, and the perfect setup for severe weather and the flooding. So
The flooding was insane. I had actually made the wrong decision in thinking that I could. Because I really didn't think the heavy rain and the flooding was going to start until a couple hours later. And I had made the decision, okay, I want to be, you know, I was still living in Jersey at the time by the office and wanted to be back on the island for, you know, the kind of remnants to move through with the wind and everything like that. And the flooding going through the city was absolutely insane. I have not had, and you know, the turnaround don't drown. I wanted to, but like when you're in so much traffic and
you can't do that.
You're just stuck. And I had gotten into like a minor accident too. Thankfully I was fine, but, my car was not, but you know, that's just like, the rain was coming down so fast that like the person just did not see me and just sideswiped me. And yeah, it was just, the flooding was crazy. And yeah, that was quite the system. I mean, that was pretty
yeah, insane. It just came down so fast, and there's no place for the rain to go. And when you get that much water in that short amount of time, I mean, those urban areas, I mean, you know, just there's all pavement, and it just goes, you know, and the drains can only handle so much. So, you know, once you get to that point where, you know, where's it going to go? Just ponds up on the roadway, and then, you know, one thing leads to another. So, well, I think that's about it, Jen. Got anything else to add right now?
I don't think so. I think we pretty much, you know, covered it, and we'll see kind of what the next couple of months brings us. We'll, you know, move out of kind of allergy season and April showers bringing May flowers, and then we'll transition to, you know, hurricanes and see what kind of severe weather we have in store with us, and, you know, see what kind of season that we have. So,
yeah, we'll have some good topics, of course, coming up here on the podcast. You know, we'll cover weather from time to time as well, current stuff, and, you know, if there's a big event maybe on the horizon that we can all talk about, something we'll focus on here. But like I said, we'll have the long range team on here in a couple of weeks as well. We'll talk about what they expect in the hurricane season and severe weather season and for the upcoming summer. But I think that's about it for now. And again, thanks for joining us here in the Weather Lounge, and we will see you back here in a few weeks.
That's a wrap on this week's episode of the Weather Lounge podcast. Thanks for listening. Be sure to follow us on all your favorite podcasting platforms so you don't miss out on future episodes. Have questions or comments? Just email us at weatherlounge@weatherworksinc.com. We'd love to hear your feedback. You can also learn more about our parent company, WeatherWorks by visiting weatherworksinc.com and checking them out on social media as well. Thanks again for joining us, and until next time, stay curious and stay weather-wise.